The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and I'm starting to read at verse 21. If you'd like to follow the reading, you'll find it on page 1039 of the New Testament section of the Bible. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Margaret. So in the verse before the passage that Margaret just read to us, verse 20, Peter has just answered Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And Karen was speaking on that passage a couple of weeks back. You can listen to it on YouTube if you missed her sermon. So Peter's just answered this question, "Who do you say I am?" And then in our passage this morning, verses 21 to 27, we hear the implications of this. So if Jesus is God's Messiah, what does this mean for Peter, for the disciples, for us? And Jesus' words are challenging, not what you'd expect a Messiah to say, and not what I expect his disciples wanted to hear. So let's pray for God's help as we seek to understand these verses and apply them to our lives this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we ask for your help in understanding and applying your word to our lives now. For your glory's sake. Amen. So the first eight chapters of Luke are about who Jesus is. Luke chapters 1 to 8. Jesus revealing himself to be the Messiah. And then in chapter 9, which is what we've been looking at or what we are looking at over the summer, the question becomes, so what? Jesus is God's Messiah. We've established that in the first eight chapters. So what? So what? Which is actually what we were thinking about last week in our second Sunday service. Can anyone remember back to last week and what we were thinking about last week? Yeah, Joy. Salt and light. So last week in our second Sunday service, we were in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, where Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world." And Jesus doesn't say his disciples are like salt and like light. He says they are salt and they are light. And to illustrate this, I had a little illustration. Does anyone remember what we did in last week's service? Yes, Sue?
Just to say, I took
I hope that as you've been enjoying the crisps throughout the week, Sue, you've been remembering to be the salt of the earth. I was just going to say, I think you said in last week's sermon that your favourite's prawn cocktail. Well, I don't like prawn cocktail. And for my sermon last week, I had to buy a pack of six. So now that you've just let us know that, I might be bringing them to church for you to take home. So last week's sermon involved, if you were here last week, different people trying different flavours of crisps. And then at the end, I was thinking about how we would, you know, those salt and shake crisps, had some of those, and had a packet that was plain and a sachet of salt. And we were thinking about how to make the plain packet ready salted. And where we got to was that actually just putting the sachet in, as it was, into the packet, that wouldn't make the crisps ready salted. You had to open the sachet, pour the salt out, and then shake the crisps up. For the crisps to become ready salted crisps, you have to open the sachet, pour it in, and shake the crisps up. And the kind of, what it was illustrating was that to be salt and light in the world, we have to allow Jesus into the whole of our lives. We have to allow Jesus to make a difference in our lives, to change us. And we're kind of picking up on that this morning. If we believe Jesus is the Messiah and we choose to follow Jesus, Jesus will change us. So the so what then is expect change. Jesus is God's Messiah, so what? Expect change. Because the way of Jesus turns the world upside down. We can't follow Jesus and stay the same. So because we're in our summer sermons, I did think about bringing crisps again and kind of picking up where we left off. And then I thought you might all have be fed up with crisps. So today I've got cake, and I'm wondering if there's anyone here who likes cake. It's proper real cake. There are some hands. If you like cake and would be happy to come and eat a cake for the purposes of my sermon, please do come to the front. Rob's coming. Oh, Pam's coming, Sarah's coming, Amelia's coming. So if you just line up here, just let Sarah get here. So last week we had crisps. This week we're having cake. You okay to come on the end here, Sarah? Perfect. So no one's got any allergies, do they? Fine. So all you need to do is take a cake and eat it if you'd like to. Oh, no goodness. There we go. So, and then I'm going to ask you a question. But for now, just take the cake and eat it. And then I'm going to ask you to tell me what ingredients you think are in the cake that you've just eaten. So we've got chocolate chips. Yep. Sugar, probably some flour, eggs, yeah, margarine or maybe butter, something like that. That's probably the main things, eggs, butter, sugar, flour, and then their chocolate chip flavour, so there are chocolate chips. So once you finish the cake, I wonder if you can tell me whether it would be possible for me to have the eggs back from the cake. Why not? If I gave you a new cake, so not the one you've just eaten. No. If you had a new cake, could you take that cake and then give me back the eggs?
No.
Why not?
Because it's all mixed in.
It's all mixed in. Could you give me back the sugar?
Probably not. No,
why not?
They're all mixed in.
It's all mixed in. You get the You might be able to get a few chocolate chips. You get the idea. You can't take the eggs or the sugar or the flour or the margarine out of the cake, because the eggs and the sugar and the flour and the margarine, they all have a new identity now that they're in the cake. They've been changed. And that is the point we're going to think about. So you can now have a seat and remember the reason that you ate cake this morning. It was to think about how we have a new identity. The eggs and the flour and the sugar, they've all taken on a new identity. Now they're in the cake. How does this relate to our Christian faith? Following Jesus, allowing Jesus into our whole lives, doesn't just mean we have to change some of the things we do. A relationship with Jesus, it changes who we are. So I think sometimes we think about, oh, being a Christian, it means a change of priorities. Well, yes, it might mean a change of priorities, but more than that, it means a new identity. So when you go home and you remember that there was cake in the sermon, remember the reason for the cake, because the eggs and the flour and the sugar, actually, once they're baked into a cake, they've taken on a new identity. And so it is that when we choose to follow Jesus, we don't just have new priorities in our lives, we have a whole new identity. When Jesus died on the cross, he died the death that should have been ours so that we can live his risen life. The life of the Christian is not a life of which Jesus is a part or even a big part. The life of a Christian is life according to Jesus. So Jesus is not just a part of life or even a big part of life. Jesus is in our very being. It's living our lives according to Jesus. Following Jesus doesn't just mean a change of priorities, coming to church more often, reading the Bible more often, maybe saying no to that extra drink at that party, whatever it might be. It doesn't just mean a change of priorities. It means a whole new identity. Our lives being transformed, and we ourselves being transformed. Our doing being transformed, and also our being. And I think when we think about Christian, we think about changing what we do, maybe being I often hear people say to me talking about being a better person or kind of doing more good things. We often think about the doing side. Actually, a relationship with Jesus changes the being side too. And it's through having our beings changed, our identity changed, that enables us to live lives that give glory to God. We live in a time when there's lots of talk of finding ourselves. That's quite a kind of sort of popular kind of thing at the moment. Do this to find yourself, or how am I going to find myself? So Jesus' words that whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him are especially countercultural. Hang on, we've been told we need to find ourselves, and Jesus here is saying you need to lose yourselves. And there are three things I'd just like to briefly draw out for us as we think about what it means to find our identity in Jesus. There are three short points. So I'll tell you what they are, and then I'll just say a little bit about them. So when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to not to find ourselves, but to lose ourselves that we might be found in him, that identity means being all in all of the time. It means walking the way of the cross, and the way of the cross is sometimes the way of suffering. But it also means walking the way of the cross, which is the way of salvation. So they're my three thoughts for us this morning. So being all in all of the time. To follow Jesus means to follow Jesus. It's not possible to half follow Jesus. You're either following him or you're not following him. The egg can't stay being an egg whilst also becoming a cake. The way of Jesus is to step into a whole new identity. Denying ourselves doesn't mean putting ourselves down. I think that's perhaps how we might instinctively read this verse. It doesn't mean self-loathing or putting ourselves down or anything like that. It just means forgetting ourselves, not so that we become identity-less people, but so that we become more fully who we were made to be because we are living wholly for the one who made us. Yeah? But forgetting ourselves is something we will need to persevere at. We will daily need to choose to follow Jesus, to take up our cross. And I think that word daily in our reading is interesting. I think it suggests that this is going to be something that we need to persevere at. It's not going to be, woo, I've got a new identity. But actually, we're going to have to work at it, work at daily forgetting ourselves, making ourselves less, that he might become more. So that's the first thing. This new identity is one where we need to be all in all of the time. There's not a halfway that we can kind of have a bit of the things that we want, that the world promises, and also have Jesus. Doesn't work like that. Second thought, the way of Jesus is the way of the cross, and the way of the cross is the way of suffering. In the ancient world, if you were carrying a cross, it meant only one thing. That you were about to endure a horrific death. To follow Jesus means Jesus has the total claim on us, which can be challenging in a world where all sorts of things are vying to have a claim on us. Jesus was rejected, and so if we're following his way, we shouldn't be surprised if we too are rejected for following Jesus. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus describes what will happen to him. And then from describing what's going to happen to him, he then goes on to talk about the life of a disciple. The way of Jesus will probably mean the way of suffering. So we need to be ready for that. But third thought, the way of Jesus is the way of cross, and the way of the cross is the way of salvation. Even when following Jesus is hard, we can be confident in God's promises. We're into verse 24 now. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. That's quite challenging, that's quite hard. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. That's back to that point I was saying where denying ourselves isn't kind of some kind of self-loathing. It's forgetting ourselves, becoming less, that he might become more. That we don't become identity-less people, but that we become more fully who we were made to be. And when we're more fully who we were made to be, then we're more fully alive. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. The cross for the Christian is a declaration of victory. As we spend time with Jesus, as we live his way, as we identify with Jesus, we will take on his victorious identity, confident not in ourselves, but in him. And so when the way of the cross is the way of suffering, and that's going to be true in our lives, you didn't need me to tell you that. You will all know that. The way of the cross is sometimes the way of suffering. But when that's true, we don't lose our identity as people of the victorious risen King. And when we inhabit Jesus' victorious identity, it gives us the strength to keep going when things are hard, when we're rejected, because we know that actually, even when we're rejected by the world, we are found in him, found in Jesus, King Jesus, who actually... Life with King Jesus is about the whole of eternity. It's not just about what we can gain or how many likes we get in this lifetime. It's about eternity. So there are my three thoughts of what taking on a new identity in Jesus means. It means being all in all of the time. It does mean walking the way of cross, which is the way of suffering. But it also means walking the way of the cross, which is the way of salvation. So if Jesus is the Messiah, back to where we started this morning, if Jesus is the Messiah, if Jesus is the only one who can save us, if Jesus is the only one who can give us life, real life, not just momentary happiness in this lifetime, but real life for all eternity, life where we don't have to find ourselves, because we are found by the one who loves us so much that he died for us, where we can live in greater freedom because we have nothing to lose. There's a wonderful freedom that comes from following Jesus with the whole of our lives, that actually when you forget yourselves, when you're not trying to gain things in this world, you've got nothing to lose, and that's freeing. If these things are true, what then is the appropriate response? So we've had Jesus is God's Messiah. The so what is that it demands a response. And now I'd like to leave us thinking about the question of now what? In response to what Jesus has done for us, our passage this morning tells us what we must do. Forget ourselves and identify with Jesus, because this gives us the best identity of all, which we can be confident in forever. Nothing can separate us from God's love. So we've thought about the so what. Jesus is God's Messiah. So what? Let's think about the now what. And I've just got two things that you might like to leave thinking about. One is you might like to leave thinking about the cake illustration. So you can hear the rector say, leave church thinking about cake. But when you leave church thinking about cake, remember what I was saying about how once the egg is in the cake, it becomes a cake. It takes on a new identity. And just as you turn that over in your minds, I wonder if there might be areas of our lives where actually we're trying to kind of keep a bit of ourselves back, not be all in for Jesus. But actually being all in for Jesus involves taking on a new identity, which is both scary, it involves some letting go, but wonderfully liberating too. We become something new. So leave church thinking about cake, but remember why you're leaving church thinking about cake. If we can separate out our lives like the ingredients, we might not be all in for Jesus. Just something to think about. And I know I have to think about that kind of, yeah, I'm all in, but actually I've got a little bit of myself that I'm kind of holding back. So that's the first thing that you might like to think about. Think about cake. The second thing is you might like to think about the 3-2-1 course, which I have a flyer for here. So this is coming up in September. If you're thinking, hang on, you've just spent 10, 15 minutes talking about how actually denying ourselves is a good thing because life according to Jesus is the best thing. Not sure. Then come along to a course which is all about discovering life according to Jesus. It's 4 sessions. They're kind of an hour and a quarter each session. We've got a daytime option starting on Tuesday afternoons on the 9th of September. We've got an evening option which is going to be online via Zoom on Thursday evenings, but all the details are on the flyer. And you can come and ask your questions about, okay, I'm not sure if Jesus is actually God's Messiah. And then secondly, I'm not sure if I want to respond to that if he actually is. If you've got questions about that, come along to 3-2-1. If you don't have questions, but you know someone else in your family does, then take a flyer and give it to them. So they're the two now whats that I want to leave us with. Think about cake and think about 3-2-1. Amen.